The Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, Episode 67. At 53 square miles, Denver International Airport is twice the size of Manhattan. Everything's bigger in Colorado. Hello, travel nerds, and welcome to the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, the show that'll teach you how to travel more while spending less. I'm your host, Travis Sherry, and joining me once again today in the co-pilot seat is Jason Moore, host of his own epically good podcast, the Zero to Travel Podcast. Jason, how you doing?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing excellent, and we will be recording a show that is near and dear to your heart today, a show all about your adopted home state, Colorado. But before we get to that, just want to thank everyone for listening today, for making us a number one rated travel podcast on iTunes. And in case you're joining us late in this podcast gluttony thing, it is really taking off. Throughout the entire month of September, we are releasing one episode every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 22 shows in total for September. So if you like it, let us know. Shoot me an email, Travis@extrapackofpeanuts. Of course, you can always let us know through iTunes, subscribing, leaving reviews. If it's positive, Jace, we're going to keep doing this thing, huh?
I'm having a great time with it, so I'm going to keep going whether it's positive or negative.
There we go. And one of the new formats that we're doing, we've done a top 10 list show. We've actually recorded two of them. We did 16 favorite breweries. We also did a top 10 road trips thing, so that's another format. And the one that we're doing today is destination-based. And me and Heather got on last time and did one about India. And today I'm bringing Jason on to do one about Colorado because, Jason, you're a transplanted East Coaster who is now out in Colorado.
Yeah, you said adopted home state, and it does feel like home, but for those of you listening, Travis and I are both from the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area. So I'm in South Philly right now. I've still got some Philly pride, man. But I got to say, Colorado's sort of taken over a large portion of my heart, as you said, near and dear to my heart. So it's a special place, man.
Yeah, and that's great because what we're going to do here is we're going to jump into the state of Colorado. Now, it is a massive state. We are not going to get to touch on every single part of Colorado, which is why we need your help. If you've been to Colorado, if you live in Colorado, we want your suggestions because this is only my second time out in Colorado. I've only probably spent about 10 days here total. So if you do have suggestions on what to do in Colorado, or if you think we're just wrong about what we're talking about in Colorado, let us know. extrapackofpeanuts.com/destinationColorado. You can leave comments on that. We'd love to hear from you. So, Jace, you are the Colorado expert here. You know, like I said, I've been here 10 days. I love it. It's been fantastic. But you're really going to give people an idea of what they should do if they're coming out to Colorado. And I think you're going to start them off with kind of a basic overview of something they could do if they just said, hey, I want to go to Colorado. I'm not exactly sure where to go.
Yeah, it's funny that we're talking this way because, like I said, I'm in Philly and you're in Colorado right now, and it's usually the opposite. Or, you know, you're somewhere halfway across the world and I'm talking to you from another place. But it's such a big topic. Like you said, Colorado's a big state. But, you know, we can break it down and we can share some highlights. And I guess, I don't know, do you want to talk road trips first? Because that's always like a really great way to cover any U.S. state and really get to know a place.
Yeah, I 100% agree. We did a top 10 road trip show. I love getting out on the open road. So give us kind of a quintessential Colorado road trip. If someone said, hey, I'm going to rent a car or I'm driving out there, what should I do? I just want to see Colorado for Colorado.
There is definitely sort of a loop you could take in, just assuming most people fly into Denver because that's the main airport and that's where you're going to get the, you know, cheapest flights. So you're probably going to be kicking off your road trip in Denver. And there's a loop that you can take that runs south on 285. And I will just give you the quick overview on some of the things that you will see. But it's I've done it twice. I did it once with my stepmom and my dad on an epic road trip. And I just did it again on my honeymoon just pretty recently, which was super awesome. And we'll talk about it.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And we'll talk about one of the things we did on the trip in this episode. We'll talk about several things. But basically, the trip runs down 285. You go through very quintessential little mountain towns. Like, for example, one of the first towns you pass through that's a little bit of a larger but sort of lesser known mountain town, not real big. It's called Salida, and it's oftentimes on these lists, you see these lists all like, Trav, you're a list guy, right? I mean,
I am a list guy through and through.
Yeah. The Salida is always on one of like the top river towns lists, you know, because they have like a whitewater rafting course there. So you can like, you know, stop there, grab a beer, grab some lunch, whatever. Basically, this loop takes you around. You'll continue on. And then if you go west, you'll go through Gunnison. There, you can stop off of 50 and see the Black Canyon, which is a national forest. You can shoot up to Crested Butte, which is a place I just spent time in. And then this all takes you all the way down to Telluride, which is pretty famous town, the southwest corner of Colorado. Just epic. I mean, literally, Trav, like, you look down downtown Telluride, and you're looking like at a mountain with a waterfall coming down. It's like Lord of the Rings meets Colorado or something. I know
Telluride is, you're going to speak a little bit about that soon because you had a great experience in Telluride. And for people who don't know, Crested Butte, you actually have been talking to me about that a little bit. Is that to you kind of the quintessential mountain town?
It's one of them. I mean, the tricky part about Colorado, it's pretty settled in a way, in a sense that if there's like a very beautiful place somewhere, it can get a little expensive, you know, it's hard to get, you know, super grassroots, rural, authentic. Obviously that exists, but I would say, you know, in that tier of towns, I mean, you're talking about like, you know, Aspen's like, I mean, everybody's seen Dumb and Dumber probably. It's like they're supposed to be in Aspen when they roll out and they're in those crazy suits coming out of their Ferraris or whatever, you know, pretty ritzy and stuff like that. You know, on the smaller towns, Telluride and Crested Butte, although both, you know, known for having wealth and all that stuff, they're still small towns. They still have small town businesses, still a lot of local places. And it's remote enough where you don't have like the Walmarts and all that type of stuff.
Telluride's basically in the corner then of Colorado. Where are you going next on this road trip?
So obviously anywhere along the way you can explore wilderness, but you're in the heart of the San Juan National Forest down there in Telluride. And these mountains, I was told, are the youngest mountains in Colorado, so which makes them really craggy, beautiful peaks, totally different than the other peaks throughout Colorado. And we'll get into the Colorado mountains here a little bit in the episode. But if you continue going south, one really interesting place that I love to go, although it can get very hot and it's a little bit off the beaten track, but when you're in Telluride, you're already so far southwest. If you can peek out and head down even further southwest to Mesa Verde National Park. Have you heard of Mesa Verde at all or familiar with it?
I am a Colorado newbie, Jace. So this is all new to me. I have heard of Telluride, but I don't know much about it. So give us the deets on Mesa Verde.
You will be going there at some point. I can guarantee you that. Mesa Verde is a special place because it's got ancient Indian ruins. So the Indians used to live inside cliffs, in rock cliffs. So they actually like basically carved out homes within these rock cliffs. So if you like that Indiana Jones style adventure, that at least that feeling, you know, where you show up and you feel like, I have a slight obsession with Indiana Jones. I grew up watching it, but so you can see the cliff dwellings, and there's not a lot of places I feel that you can really see really well preserved Indian ruins. It's just not one of those things that usually have to go a little bit out of the way, off the beaten track to see it. So that's a very, very cool thing to check out. And it's definitely something that's unforgettable. After that, you know, you can loop back up to Grand Junction and just take 70 back to Denver. And if you were looking at a map, this would probably make a lot more sense. There's plenty to do along the way there. Delicious peaches on what they call the Western Slope near Grand Junction. Or you can just reverse loop the same way, and there's a bunch of stuff along the way, and we can get into a little bit of that. But that's sort of the general route I would take. It's like a loop-de-loop that's about 1,000 miles. You never leave the state. It's like driving 1,000 miles in a national park. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Wow. And what would you suggest then? Obviously, everyone's itinerary is going to be different, but how many days for those 1,000 miles would you say, all right, to get the best experience, you should have this many days to do the loop?
7 to 10 days.
Okay.
I would say 10 days would be better. And then it obviously depends on how much, you know, hiking you want to do, or how many wilderness days or different things you want to do along the way. But yeah, you could do it in about, yeah, like I said, it's a week to 10 days and preferably a little longer. But
yeah, and there is so much about Colorado. The thing I always have loved about this state, even before I'd come out here, is just the names of all the places. Like, they just conjure up these images of my mind of like the Wild West and just these cool towns. And I think a lot of people who haven't been here probably feel the same way. And, you know, you hear Vail, you hear Aspen or Telluride, and it's like a country Western song almost in my head playing through. I just think of Willie Nelson, I you know, over and over again. And then having come out here, it is just so much different from a lot of the places that most people in the United States live, you know, especially the East Coast, you know, even different from the West Coast and of course different from the plains. But one thing that always struck me, Jace, is flying into Denver, and I never knew this. You know, I assumed that we'd fly into Denver and boom, we'd be like in the Rockies. Like you would see them coming in. And, you know, flying from the East Coast, you land in Denver and it's just completely flat. And I remember being at the airport thinking, am I in the great place? Like, did we land at the wrong place? Let's talk about Denver a little bit and kind of talk a little bit about the topography and the geography of Colorado, because the eastern part of Colorado is very flat.
It's so funny. You're right. Especially when you drive across country, it's like once you leave the East Coast and you get past certain points, just like flatness, 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 pretty much if you're going down 70 all the way to Denver, and then you're like, oh, okay, now it starts, I guess. But you're right. I mean, Denver is, you get beautiful views of the mountains, but you're not in the mountains, that's for sure. If you like to do city stuff, Denver's a cool city. I mean, it's growing fast and there's, you know, certain neighborhoods. Like I would recommend going to the Highlands neighborhood. That's sort of like that's not downtown, but it's like a little neighborhood where there's a lot of really nice restaurants. There's an awesome ice cream place that I think it's called the Little Man, but it's got a giant like old school milk carton that's like skyrocketing 3 or 4 stories high. Always like crazy lines, but it's because the ice cream is so good. Denver's an awesome place. Yeah. How are you enjoying Colorado so far? Like, what do you think?
I love it. We spent about 4 days in Colorado Springs last year, and then we came up and did 3 days in Denver. And obviously now we've been in Breckenridge for about a week and a half. For Denver, I mean, I love it. I think Denver was a really cool city. I was blown away by the fact that the stadiums are downtown. I'm a big sports fan. So it was crazy to me that like there they are downtown, because in Philadelphia, they're obviously removed kind of from the city. I was also amazed by the lack of traffic. And I know that probably people who live in Denver are going to be like, what are you talking about? There's always traffic. You know, everyone thinks there's a lot of traffic, but the people out west, I don't think understand traffic like we do back east until you get all the way down to California and they have their own issues. But I was amazed. It'd be like 5 p.m. on a Thursday and we would be driving around downtown Denver, easy as could be, parking everywhere. So I really love Denver. I would suggest to anyone, we got the bikes, like they have a city bike program. I don't remember exactly what they call it, but you know, where you can get the bikes out, you have it free for a half hour and you can dock them all around the city. I think you pay $8 a day. I love doing that in cities, those city bike share program. So I'm a huge fan of that. Denver had a great one. They had the little places that you could lock the bikes up basically everywhere around town that we were. So a big fan of that. And the only place I remember that we ate that was really good, and I'm sure there's a lot, and it's a chain now, it's called the Yard House. Our friends have told us about it. Now it's been bought out by the people who own Red Lobster and stuff like that. But the Yard House was great. I think they say they have the most beers on tap of anywhere in the US. So it's like 150, 160 beers. And now they have franchises, but it's cool because when you're in Denver, they have a lot of local beers. So they have the regular ones and then they have a lot of local beers. So great happy hours. We went back there like, I think in 2 days, I think we went there 3 times because they had a regular happy hour and a late night. So we went back twice in one day.
You and Heather, you guys are notorious for this, because when we hung out in Portland, you remember these happy hours. You're like, oh, we got to get these, what were they called? Something margs. They were like,
yeah, strawberry. They're like backyard margaritas in Portland. When we do a Portland episode, we'll definitely include that.
Yeah, like we got to go get backyard margs here. Like, this is the best happy hour. This is so great that you guys remember that. You know, there was a reason, and I love when the sports stadiums are downtown, because that does give you the experience of like going to the game and then you're right downtown and there's all these places around there. But you know, there was a reason why the Philadelphia sports stadiums are nowhere near downtown. Have you seen Philadelphia sports fans and how they behave? I mean, come on.
Yeah, you wouldn't want them in your center city scaring all the kids and stuff like that.
There was a judge in the Veterans Stadium at one point, like convicting people, right? At the football game. So that's pretty special.
Yeah, it definitely is. Definitely a different feel.
Another thing, speaking of a different feel, you mentioned feeling different. The culture, I feel like, in Colorado is different. Like when we walked into Broken Compass Brewery and there's like a dog walking around, or like, there's just like, I don't know. Coming from the East Coast, I just noticed a real sort of laid back vibe and just everything kind of super chill, I guess would be the word.
I think that is definitely the correct word with chill and laid back. And so we've hit on Denver, and I would say, like, for a big city, that's about as chill as it gets. You know, lack of traffic, you know, really easy going, happy hours, very easy to get around. I really like Denver. I loved biking around Denver. What about some of the other places? Like, if you want to go now kind of a little bit into the different cities, because Denver has a bunch of different, we won't call them cities, I guess, but bigger towns that have their own feel and their own unique vibes to them. What are some of your favorites?
Well, let me, you know, this is about traveling more for less, right?
So of course,
let me pick out a couple little things along this road trip, and just you know, I want to give a couple tips here as far as these things work in Colorado, but also you can use these tips nationally. I mean, one is we've got some incredible national parks in Colorado and in the United States. So if you are going to Denver, a lot of people will make the journey up to Estes Park to go to the Rocky Mountain National Park. I mentioned the Black Canyon National Park, the Mesa Verde National Park. So I think to get a carload in there is something like $25 or something like that. But they have this incredible deal. I don't know if you're listening and you probably already know about this, but it's $80 for a National Parks Pass, and it's an annual thing and it lasts all year. And another cool thing about it is you can have two people sign the back of the card. So you can sign the back of the card and don't have your wife sign the back of the card. Have like, if I always have like a friend or somebody else that can use it when I'm gone, sign the back of the card too, so they can take the card and use it when I'm not using it. But think of it as a donation to the national park. I would always suggest doing the annual pass because it's just, it's like probably the most incredible deal. And that'll get you in, again, to beautiful Rocky Mountain National Park and all the national parks across the U.S., which is awesome.
Wow. So that's $80 any national park without the U.S. Because I remember, I think we got one when we were in Oregon. I don't remember exactly where. And they were talking to us about an annual pass, and we didn't do it. We did like the daily or whatever it was. But $80, and you can get in any national park in the U.S. for a whole calendar year, I guess, or for 365 days from that day.
Yeah, it's truly awesome.
And okay,
it's just a great deal. And if Colorado is all about the outdoors, right? So it would be remiss of me, if that's the proper use of that word. I've never used the word remiss on a podcast, if I did not, you know, talk a little bit about the outdoors. And I mean, you've got everything. You're talking like skiing, fly fishing, climbing, hiking, rafting, SUP, stand-up paddleboarding. I've seen people doing yoga on SUP boards. That's just weird to me. But mountain biking, like all this crazy stuff, right? And it's all very accessible. So when you go to these little towns like Steamboat Springs or Crested Butte, I was staying at the International Hostel in Crested Butte, which is about like, you can actually negotiate at the front room. That's a whole other episode, is how to negotiate. But, you know, ask for a better rate. You know, if there's nobody there, you can probably get a room for like $30, maybe even less a night. But if you want to do some camping about 15 minutes from town, you can just drive and be up camping for free. And it looks like you're just out in the middle of the wilderness in nowhere. So for free camping, generally speaking, it's either National Forests or Bureau of Land Management, BLM. Those usually have free spots, and what you want to look for is like places with a fire ring that are already built up. You don't want to like burn the whole forest down or whatever. And then there's tons of backpacking where you can hike in and camp for free. But you know, if you're listening to this, you're like, well, I don't do camping, whatever. You know, glamping is an option, something I love.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean,
I love how new terms are like always in the travel lexicon, right? Yes. They're coming out like glamping. What is glamping?
You and Heather, did you guys do a little bit of glamping with some friends out in Portland, right?
Yes, we did. And now I do know what that term means now, glamorous camping. And it's less roughing it. It's more like, I don't know, it's glamorous camping. I guess that's the best way to describe it.
I did just do a video on it, and it's I think it came out funny. Anyway, I had a good time with it. But yeah, if you're like, I don't know if I'm into this camping thing. I mean, you can set it up if you're living out of your car where you can camp for free, really have a lot of the luxuries, and even be driving into town and like getting showers and eating nice meals. I mean, you could drive back to the hostel in Crested Butte and shower for $6 and go back to your campsite and still be clean and have a nice dinner and stuff like that. So that's one of the great things about Colorado too, is you take like a smaller town like Aspen or Crested Butte or Steamboat, and there's all this nature stuff to do around there, but then you can come back to town and, you know, have epic beers and meals and all that type of stuff.
This is free camping. Like this, you said there's like, you can go and you can set up your tent and your site, and they actually have the fire rings, but you're not paying anyone. You're allowed to be there.
Absolutely. And there's a website, I think it's freecamping.net, where you can look up free camping all over the place. So yeah, freecampsites.net is what it is. And then you can go by Colorado, and I think you could look up other states as well. And that's a good resource too, but you just got to get used to figuring out what you need to bring and everything like that. But I kind of wanted to break down, like, if you're cool with this.
Hey, this is Colorado, man. This is you.
Well, there are a couple things that I would like to mention that are more for, I don't know. I love hot springs. I don't know how you feel about hot springs, but so,
hot springs are always fun, especially, I mean, during the winter, you know, when people should be using hot springs. Yeah, I know you're a big hot springs fan. Give us some of the hot springs around in Colorado that you would recommend.
Well, the fact that you and I were just in and out of the hot tub like 19 times last week when I was hanging out there, you know, I like to get into the hot water and whatever, just relax. But the big standouts are Strawberry Park Hot Springs outside of Steamboat. It's only about 15, 20 minutes outside of Steamboat, but I swear it's the most stars we've seen in the sky in one place, I think. It's super rustic. This one's really rustic. I mean, they don't even barely have lights. You should bring like a headlamp. You pay $10, I think, and you go in, and it's a natural hot spring, so it's not like what you're thinking where it's like a resort and there's concrete poured and it's all done up. This is like into the rocks. It's a very popular place. So Strawberry Park Hot Springs, if you book in advance, you can book some little cabins up there. Again, rustic. I don't even think they have electricity, but they're very reasonable, and you can have a nice, cozy, romantic night in Strawberry Park Hot Springs, and you can come back to Steamboat the next day and go hang out in town, go to the Sun Pie. There's a great Italian place in town that's like, I think downstairs. You will find it. The town's not that big. I wish I had the name of it on the top of my head right now. But that's one. And then on our honeymoon, we went to Orvis Hot Springs, O-R-V-I-S, which is right near Ridgeway. And we got an Airbnb, and that was like awesome Airbnb. And it was just under a mile from this hot spring. I will warn people, this is a clothing optional hot spring, okay? And people will opt for no clothing, and you will see that almost directly in front of your face sometimes.
Hey, well, me and Heather are used to that because in Japan, in the onsens, which were the Japanese hot springs, it wasn't clothing optional. It was you don't have the option of clothing. So it was, you know, you had to be nude going in them. So, all right, a good FYI for people, you know, who might be going at Steamboat Springs is another town that the name just in my head conjures up these images of like, that is Colorado, you know, we're in the Rockies, stuff like that. Very cool. So you've got some hot springs there. You know, there's some other things that I'm sure you'd be recommending people. We did a top 16 breweries in America. We went off on a bunch of different ones earlier this week in Colorado. What are some other things that people should do to get this Colorado experience?
Yeah, I was going to say breweries are obviously a big thing. And I don't want to spoil that because you'll have to listen to the breweries episode. What is it? Extrapackofpenis.com/beer?
Yeah, /beer. Very easy to remember. Okay. So if you want to listen to the top 16 breweries in America, me and Jason talking about that, you can head to that podcast. But there are a lot of awesome breweries. Just tell people some of your faves.
You know,
Or there are just so many. I mean,
there are. I don't want to spoil that list. They got to listen to that episode. Because okay. Although we will riff like crazy, and then this will go off into a whole other tangent. And that's, yes, but breweries are a must. Local breweries are a must. If you're like, yeah, I want to do the brewery thing. I mentioned a ton of breweries in Colorado. Travis mentions breweries in Colorado as well. Even one that we've been to together. So that's definitely something to check out. What I think would be good to focus on is maybe some outdoor stuff.
Sure. Yeah. And that's all, I mean, Colorado is all about being outdoors. And that's one of the things that I really love about it. You know, Whether it's winter, spring, summer, or fall, there's an activity to do outdoors.
Yeah, it's amazing. And skiing, I mean, not to jump to the winter, because we're talking more summer activities and everything like that. But here's another little tip that's good to know. So the Vail Resorts is a collection of mountains. And there's a ski pass you can buy that includes all of those mountains. And there's one pass called the Epic Pass. And you get unlimited skiing at Breckenridge, Vail, Beaver Creek. These are like world-class resorts. Keystone and A-Basin, which is one of my favorite resorts. Arapahoe Basin, which is sort of, you know, less amenities, more like, it's pretty challenging. It's smaller, but you don't even have a cell phone service there because you have to go over a pass to get there. It's like almost the antithesis of Vail, more pure, you know? That's a great place. But anyway, the Epic Pass includes all of those mountains. And it also includes some mountains, like if you want to take a flight to Lake Tahoe, that's part of it as well. It's $749, unlimited skiing. So wow. If you think like a day at Vail is like, I think over $130 now, people from out of state will buy that. And one of the ones they will buy a lot is the Epic Local Pass. I believe you can buy that if you're out of state. That's $569. That gets you unlimited to all those mountains, but then just 10 days at Vail and Beaver Creek, which is plenty if you're coming from out of town. So if you take like two ski trips to Colorado, or you take one long one, or you're like a digital nomad or something, you can stay for a few weeks, it's totally 100% worth it to get the ski pass.
So we're talking $749 for all season, every day. You could go all the way from whatever, November 1st until the end of March or whenever ski season closes, every day, and it's $749.
Yeah, I mean, I think about like ski seasons I got out east. It's like, you know, a season, if you can get up like five times, that's a season. I mean, if you stay for 2 weeks, you can go 14 times, exactly. You know, that would be well over almost $2,000 nearly. So yeah, definitely worth it depending on how much you're skiing. And then obviously mountains. Colorado's known for mountains. I mean, Rocky Mountains, it's the Colorado thing, right? So we have 53 mountain peaks that are called 14ers. And that means they're mountain peaks that are over 14,000 feet. And that's the most unique thing about Colorado, because nowhere else does any concentration of mountains that tall exist. I mean, I think there's like, I might be wrong, but I think there are only two other mountains in the U.S. that are over 14,000 feet. Mount Rainier, I believe, and Mount McKinley in Alaska, and possibly Mount Shasta, maybe, might be over that. But don't quote me on that. I might have my facts all mixed up. But yeah, so it's super rare to have all of those peaks. So if you want to climb a 14er, yes, you can do it. There are some easier, less technical ones that you don't have to quote unquote climb. You don't have to like, you know, take an ice axe and like work your way up to the top and like do some crazy thing. And also think that you might be driving up and starting really high. So yeah, 14,000 feet sounds like, whoa, I couldn't do that. But if you're starting at 11,000 feet or almost 12,000, then maybe you can do it in 6 hours, depending on your fitness level. But you do not want to go unprepared, and you do not want to be on the summit past noon is the general rule, because thunderstorms roll in, people have been getting struck by lightning and all this type of stuff. So, you know, don't take the nature lightly, but at the same time, you know, go out and enjoy it.
Yeah, and we were surprised when we came into Breckenridge and people were saying, oh yeah, we should go hike a 14er today. And I'm thinking 14,000 feet, because before I hiked Mount Fuji, it was about 13,000, and it was epic. Like, it was very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And, you know, it took like a very, very long time. But Breckenridge, you're starting at almost 10,000 feet. And then if you drive to wherever you're going to start. So it really is, I'm not going to say it's easy, but people have said to us, you know, you can do it in half a day. You know, bring water, make sure you acclimate to the altitude, bring something to eat. Like you said, don't be on the summit past noon. But it isn't this crazy, I'm going to go out hiking a 14er and it's going to take me 5 days and I'm going to be camping. I mean, I'm sure you can do stuff like that as well, but it's a much easier, relaxed vibe with a lot of these mountains, especially around the town. I know, especially around Breckenridge.
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad you mentioned the water and all that stuff. This is, okay, this will sound like a nerdy fanny pack kind of tip, but really, when you fly into Colorado your first day, don't do what I do, which is the opposite of like all of these things you're not supposed to do. You're just supposed to drink a lot of water, because of the altitude, you can get sick. And you're not supposed to drink coffee, and you're not supposed to drink alcohol, at least for the first 24 hours. Now, what do? When I usually land, I grab a coffee, I go and have a beer, and I just try to drink extra water. So I don't follow my own advice, but yeah, something to be aware of, because you can get altitude sick.
Or a coffee-flavored beer. Then you're mixing them all into one, and you're only breaking one rule, right?
We might be talking about Java porters in that other episode, so.
We got the outdoor stuff. And during the summer, I mean, an example of some of the outdoor stuff that people can do. We talked about skiing and hiking, but there's all types of crazy stuff. I mean, mountain biking, right?
Yeah, mountain biking, that's something we talked about. One cool thing you can do is, there are certain resorts, I believe Keystone does this, but there are plenty of resorts that do this, where they'll rent you a mountain bike and they have the lift running, the chairlift. So they'll literally, like, just like you're skiing, I mean, they'll take the mountain bike, they'll hang it on the back of the chairlift, then you'll get on the chairlift, take a nice easy ride, you know, up to the top of the mountain, enjoy the views, enjoy the wind in your hair, totally eliminating all of the pedaling and the hard work uphill. Then you get to hop on the bike and just cruise down awesome trails all day long until you're tired, and then you can just turn the bike in and go. So that's a really cool thing to do also.
One of the things that I've noticed about Colorado too is it seems to be a lot of festivals. Maybe it's because we're here in the fall, but I assume that it kind of just happens throughout the year. And I know that you have a few festivals you've been to that you would definitely recommend.
Yeah, Telluride's notorious for their festivals. I don't know if it's because, hey, we're kind of isolated down here and there's only this many people living. So let's just like bring people in every week to enjoy what we get to enjoy. I've actually heard, because I was talking to some locals when I was there at this festival I'm going to mention in a second. And they, apparently a lot of them get out of town because it gets so crazy. But the way they run their festivals is very controlled. So we went to the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, which is a very famous festival. And I don't think anything's more classical in Colorado than listening to bluegrass and, you know, enjoying the sun and the mountain views and camping. So it's like a camping festival, but it's cool because it's a hybrid of music festival camping, but you're still right there in town. So you have to enter a lottery to get tickets to this. So if you're interested in what I'm saying, go and just Google Telluride Bluegrass Festival and just look up the dates. This is what I did like last year. Set a calendar reminder for when you could enter to be in the lottery. And you enter to be in the lottery. They only let X amount of people come because they want it. They don't want it to be overcrowded. So it's not like one of these, you know, you're just going to be in sloppy porta potties all the time and there's nowhere to go. It's like you could shower up, you can walk into town, have a nice meal, come back, watch a little music. There's families there. It's really chill. And they also have another very popular festival. It's the Telluride Blues and Brews Festival, and that's all beer and blues. So those are two great ones. And there's plenty of music all up and down the Front Range, which is what we call the area like of Denver and Boulder, Fort Collins, the area along the mountains in the front there. There's just so much music, and there's even smaller festivals in different places outside of Vail and all that type of stuff. So if you want to get your music fix on, Colorado's a great place for it.
Yeah, and tons of stuff that you're mentioning, Jace. I know people are going to sit there and remember bits and pieces and want to know exactly what we're talking about. So if you do, remember, all this is going to be linked up in the show notes at extrapacketpants.com/destinationColorado because you are giving us a ton of information. So if you forget, hey, Jason was talking about some bluegrass festival, I don't remember where it was, that's all going to be linked up. You can get the information there. Let's talk a little bit now. We'll have some quick hitters with just... Yeah, I know you could talk forever about Boulder because that's now your adopted home, but I want to give people just some quick hitters and a general idea of some of the cities that you would tell them to visit, you know, and some of the places if you have recommendations on restaurants, places to stay, anything like that. We'll just give people a general overview of that stuff so that if they are heading to Boulder, oh, Jason said I should go here, this or that. So, I mean, let's start with Boulder because that's your home. I know it's near and dear to your heart. Give people an overview of Boulder. Why should they go? And you know, what are some places that they should see in Boulder?
It's just a beautiful place. I mean, Trav, I hand selected Boulder as my place to live after traveling all of the United States for a decade doing all these crazy tours and some other stuff we've talked about in another episode and everything like that. But it's a special place because you have the qualities of a town where everything's compact, it's walkable, it's bikeable, bike lanes everywhere. If you're somebody that doesn't just want to have to get in their car for everything, I grew up in the suburbs, so that really appealed to me, that part of Boulder, because I don't want to have to get in my car for everything. It's nice to hop on your bike, ride down into town and go to breweries, go see a show at the Boulder Theater. That's something I would recommend. Walking around on Pearl Street, there are street performers all summer. There's hiking trails right nearby that you could literally ride your bike to, hike up a mountain, in 10 minutes, be back in town and eating an awesome Nepalese meal at a place called Sherpa's on 9th and Walnut, you know, or you could be having a cocktail at the Bitter Bar next door, which is a pretty famous nationally cocktail place. And Boulder was actually named foodiest town in America, and they had qualifications for town, so they weren't comparing it to like New York City or something like that, but it was named foodiest town in America by a major publication. The one is slipping my mind. So I mean, everything from, you know, food to the outdoor stuff and a very active lifestyle. It's one thing I love about living in Boulder. It's 300 days of sunshine a year in Colorado. So I mean, I don't want to sell everybody on this because then everybody will come,
the secret's
and then,
out.
Yeah, it could get a little dangerous, but yeah, it's just really a great place to visit. That is definitely a place I would recommend for obvious reasons because I live there and for all the things I just said. And then a couple other towns were you looking for? Or?
Yeah, so I mean, now all the EPOP listeners are just going to migrate to Boulder, so we don't even have to record. We can just do live shows, right? We could just speak to an audience of people. Give us a few places in Boulder you would definitely recommend. You've already talked about two of them, but just give us a quick hitter. You know, here are five places you should eat or drink or stuff like that in Boulder.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, in Boulder for eating.
Yeah, well, anything. Eating, drinking, just give us a few of your favorite places.
Yeah, sure. It's again, a brewery to be unnamed, which is the number one brewery in the brewery episode. Should I say the name?
Go for
it. I don't want to spoil that episode.
All right, don't spoil it. Don't spoil it. Guys, you're going to have to listen to that episode.
That is definitely a place. But I, you know what? I'll say a brewery that I didn't mention in the episode that's a good place to check out. There's a couple of them. One is the Upslope. It's in North Boulder. Very small, very quaint. You know, you walk in, it's only a few tables. They have board games, all that stuff. It's just really cozy environment. That's a great one. And there's another brewery that just opened up called Fate Brewing. It's a brew pub and a restaurant. So if you want to just have a big deck and you want to sit out and look at the mountains and just sit on a deck and have a beer, that's a good spot. And the food's pretty decent. Lark Burger is a small burger joint in a shopping center that started up in outside of Vail, actually. And they're, my wife loves Lark Burger. Like when we come to Boulder, she comes from Norway. She's Norwegian. We have to go and get Lark Burger because we sit there and they have truffle oil on the French fries. So you can get the French fries with truffle oil. And it's like one of those places where they only do, you can't get like 19 different burgers. It's just like a cheeseburger or a regular burger. And you can get it in a lettuce wrap or with a bun. That's it. You know, you just get French fries with truffle oil or French fries with some cheese on it. And
yeah,
like
do one thing and do it right, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those places. So that's like a really cool little place. Illegal Pete's is a place if you want to go get a burrito. You know, the Lark Burger and Illegal Pete's are good places where you can eat for like, you know, $6 to $12 or something like that, awesome. Depending on what you get. Maybe a little more if you want a milkshake or something. Those are awesome places. And Sherpa's, I mentioned on 9th and Walnut, is awesome ethnic food from Nepal. And the owner is literally climbed Mount Everest. I mean, it's just like in Boulder, you never know who you're sitting next to. And one time I was sitting in a pub next to a guy and he was an Olympic runner. You know, these people are everywhere. It's crazy.
Very cool. So, all right, that's Boulder. A few other favorite towns real quick that you know, you would say, all right, you're going to Denver. We've talked on some. Where else are people? Where should they go? And in those towns, what should they do?
I fell in love with Crested Butte. And you'll have to look on the map to see where it is. And once you look on the map, you'll understand that it's a little isolated. It's just, I think the most special towns in Colorado, and I would probably put Telluride and Crested Butte in this category, are towns where the road, any major road, and it's not that major when it ends, terminates in the town. So you can't pass through the town on your way to somewhere else. I think that's what might make these towns special because there's nowhere else to go. You just end up at the town and you're there. So Crested Butte and Telluride are definitely two very special places. So much just right near the town and then within the towns themselves, local places. You know, I would just encourage people. I always go with the rule of threes. You ask around, ask a couple locals, chit chat with some people. You know, if you're saying, where should I get dinner or whatever, and you hear the same place three times, should probably go get dinner there, you know?
And that is a great recommendation. The rule of three.
And one of the locals told me a really interesting thing, which makes total sense. The towns are so small that you can't survive if you have bad food at your restaurant. So the places that have been there for like more than a few years or whatever, there's a good bet that you're going to get really good food because the town's so small, like they only can generate so much business. You have to have a certain level of quality to stay in existence.
And you don't have the tourism coming through like you do in Breckenridge and stuff like that. Not that the restaurants in Breckenridge are bad, but you have that influx of seasonal people coming in where you can make all your money then and it doesn't have to be quality or as much quality.
Exactly. You can get away with a little bit. And so, yeah, Crested Butte and Telluride, if you just want to check out a beautiful mountain town, those are great places to go. And then were you going to say something about...
Well, I think I want to touch on real quick, and we've talked about this, Breckenridge, Vail, great places to go, much more touristy than the places you're mentioning. I mean, I'm sitting here in Breckenridge right now looking out over the mountains, absolutely loving it. So don't get the wrong idea that if you go to these places, oh no, it's a bad thing. It's absolutely awesome, but it isn't as small towny. So it depends what you want. I just want to throw a few recommendations in for Breckenridge just because we're here right now.
Yeah.
So people are coming here. As we've talked about, we have a brewery episode. I will mention the one here. It is Broken Compass Brewery, does make our list of top 16 in America. It is a fantastic little brewery that just opened. You should definitely check it out. Breckenridge Distillery is a very cool place where you can sample. You can actually go and bottle at Breckenridge Distillery. So you can go for 4 hours, help them bottle the liquor. They give give you a bottle afterwards. Me and Heather are going to do that at some point in the coming weeks. And there's tons of great happy hours. We've been to this place called Modus that has a happy hour. Again, this happy hour thing, 3 to 6 and 9 to close. It's perfect, man, because I go from, you know, 4 to 6 and we come home and then we'll go back out at night sometimes. So Modus is a really good place. There's a lot of good restaurants here. Your take on Breckenridge and Vail, because you've been to these places more than I have.
Vail, to me, is the place to go enjoy Vail Mountain, especially the ski mountain. It's just incredible. I think it's got the most skiable acres in North America that of any mountain. The mountain is absolutely unbelievable for skiing. If you go with locals, or you just are a little persistent on a chairlift and you ask around, you could. There's people in Colorado really friendly. And a lot of people from Colorado aren't from Colorado. And when they learn a little bit about something, they might just, you know, take you under their wing a little bit and show you around. And on the mountain skiing, you can always get fresh powder, almost always get fresh powder somewhere. So if you like to take powder turns, you just got to go a little bit further than everybody else. Maybe have a local show you around a little bit. Vail is very much like a Disneyland kind of village. It's like a cute European village. It's cool to walk around the town and check it out, and it's beautiful. It's nice to be there and everything, but it's not very authentic in that way. So I go to Vail to enjoy what Vail has to offer, which mostly is, the mountain and the surrounding nature. Although you can enjoy a day at the town, but it's not like you're going to get an authentic town, if that makes sense.
For sure, for sure. And the one last place that I just want to touch on, Colorado Springs. I know we're a little divided on this. I've only been there for 4 days, so I can't say I love it. But the one thing I will say that I loved in Colorado Springs was the Garden of the Gods. I thought that was a very, very cool park. Yeah. If you're down there, I think it's well worth going to. And the one thing that we did in Colorado Springs that we really liked was called the Western Jubilee Recording Company. It's a very old recording studio. You can go in, you know, you can have like private parties there. I think they actually do serve food as well when private parties aren't going on. They actually have shows. So a cool thing to do if you're down in Colorado Springs. Jace, to wrap this up, what we're going to do with this kind of Destination Diaries segment is I want you to give us one thing that you can't miss. And we've talked about a lot of stuff in Colorado. So if someone's saying to you, I want to come to Colorado, what's one thing I can't miss? What would be your answer to that?
Man, that's a tough one. And I'm going to have to go with a very general answer here, I guess. It's not a cop-out, although it might sound
although
like
it is, although it is a cop-out.
Although it is a cop-out. Yeah, just getting out and enjoying the nature, really, anywhere you are. It's not that hard. You don't have to be intimidated by it. You don't have to have crazy skills. You don't have to do some crazy hike or, you know, climb upside down on a rock and risk your life or anything like that. It's really just get reconnected with nature, take a walk, just get out in the mountains a little bit, go out and do some fishing or just sit by a river and read a book if that's your bag, you know, whatever it is, just get out into the nature. I would say that's the number one thing that you can't miss in Colorado.
Very cool. What about if someone said to you, I'm coming to Colorado, and you've done a lot in Colorado, what's one thing that you wouldn't, you could tell them, you know, you only have a certain amount of time, here's something I would skip?
It's tough. I mean, you mentioned Colorado Springs. I don't need to go to Colorado Springs. I'm not a huge fan. Although that one may seem obvious, so I will throw out something that might seem a lot less obvious. If you're just interested in a town, and not necessarily the surrounding nature, because when I say this, people are going to be like, what? That's crazy. Aspen is a beautiful area. There you got the Maroon Bells Wilderness, incredible wilderness down there. I did a multi-day hike where you can actually hike up to Conundrum Hot Springs, which is a natural hot springs you can hike to in this up on top, almost near this mountain pass. You're looking down a valley. You're sitting in a natural hot tub. It's just beautiful. And if you continue hiking over the pass, you'll get to Crested Butte. So it's 11 miles from Aspen to Crested Butte to walk, but it's 100 miles to drive because you have to go around. So it's pretty crazy. But Aspen, the town, I mean,
you could take it or leave it.
You know, I don't really need to be in a mountain town and see like a Prada store and all this fancy stuff. I'm sorry. I just, you know, maybe I'm
so if you need to be in a mountain town and see a Prada store, then can't miss Aspen. But if you don't want the Prada store, then that's something you might want to skip is Aspen. The last part that we always do is something that you haven't done yet in Colorado that you're going to do. We say, this is the thing I'm doing next time. So you haven't done it yet. And I know you've done a lot, but there's got to be something out there that you're like, oh man, I've always wanted to do this and I haven't done it.
Yeah, another great question. Again, for me, a lot of that involves taking trips into the backcountry. There's just so much nature to explore. And when you pick up one of these books where it's like the 50 best hikes in Colorado, or, you know, there's all these 14ers or whatever. I've only climbed one 14er. There's just so many beautiful wilderness areas. You can't possibly explore them all, even in a lifetime. So just hitting up one or two of those that I've been wanting to do, maybe another 14er, or, you know, it's just an endless list. So I can't point to one specific. I just know that there's a lot more backcountry stuff I need to do.
Yeah. And for me then, you know, take this with a grain of salt. Go ahead.
I did remember one thing. Sorry. One thing I haven't done that I really, really, really want to do, maybe I'll do it this winter, is a cat trip. And are you familiar with that?
Is that when they take you up for skiing?
Yes. So they have the things that, these giant looking transformer machines that plow and like groom the mountain at night. Well, you can actually get hired for one of those, hire one of those with a guide. They'll take you in it and you'll basically get fresh powder all day. And Silverton Mountains and another thing where you go out with a guide, they only let a certain number of people on the mountain every day, and you have to go with a guide and they take you and you just get fresh powder all day. Those are two things I'd really love to do.
Well, that brings me right into the thing that I was going to say for next time, because there's a lot that I haven't done here, much more than you've done. And for me, you know, being here in the end of summer, beginning of fall time, you know, I'm not going to get to ski. So the next time I come, that's what I want to do. I want to ski in Colorado. Give people your top, this is going to put you on the spot, but you know, your top three or four places, if people are coming to ski, because this is a huge question that I'm sure people get asked all the time, where would you say, here's where you should go?
If you don't want to drive too far and you're flying into Denver, you can head up and go skiing at A Basin if you want a real authentic, bare bones, sort of less refined experience. Then you can continue on 70 West. And if you can go to one of the ritziest resorts in the world and ski Vail, you almost can't miss Vail Mountain. If you're a skier and you want to be on the best mountain, you have to go ski Vail. Steamboat is a mountain that I just skied for the first time last year. I loved it, absolutely loved it. So if you want to get into the trees and do some tree skiing without having the trees like super close to you, which I ran into a tree once a few years ago, but that's another story. You want to go to the Steamboat because they're kind of known for their open tree runs. And once you get into the trees, there's less wind. And it's just such a beautiful place. And the town's awesome too. So those would be three mountains that I would highly, highly recommend.
Well, there you have it, guys. Skiing advice from a real Coloradan, or at least a transplanted Coloradan, you know, the mouth of a local here. Awesome advice. I know there's a lot of people out there who are listening to this and, you know, they've been to Colorado, or hey, maybe they even live there. We'd love to hear their suggestions as well. Because Jace, even as you said, you know, you've been there 8 years. There's so much to do in that great state. So
yeah, if you guys comment or whoever comments, I'll take a look at them and we'll be happy to respond on that thread.
Yeah. From breweries to towns to activities, we want to know it all. What should we do when we go to Colorado? You can comment by going to extrapackofpants.com/destinationColorado. Guys, thanks so much for listening today and for the ongoing support of the Extra Pack of Pants Travel Podcast, of enjoying what me and Jason are talking about here, of Podcast Gluttony, which is really taking off. It's been amazing, the responses from people, the number of downloads we're seeing. So if you do love what we're doing, now Jason said he's going to keep doing it regardless of your feedback, but me, I like to hear some positive encouragement. So if you like the new format, please let us know. You can subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Stitcher. Keep listening to our show. That'll keep the download numbers high. We'll know that people like it. Of course, you can leave a review on iTunes. Today's featured review comes from P. Baudet 2. Now, this is a French name, so I'm sure I'm messing it up. But P. Baudet 2 says, great job from Travis and his guests. That includes you, Jason. Funny, diverse, and very informative. I listen to it every week. Now he can listen every day. Thanks from France. So you hear that, Jace. We have fans all the way across the Atlantic.
you've got some great fans. I don't know. I'm just coming on here and shooting off at the mouth every now and again, but no.
Well, thanks, Chase, for coming on. Thanks, P. Bode, too. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Until tomorrow, happy free travels.
I'll see you all in Colorado. I'll show you Paris. We'll be right back.